Welcome to Buffalo Ridge Sunday School here with our class. Some of you's not been here for our visiting, and we've been going on Revelations for a little while, following Christ. So we'll continue that journey here in a little bit. I passed out some sheets today that may enlighten you. That they're hard to see a little bit, but we'll talk about that too. So Danny, get us started, and we'll go.
Of us as home folks, but we got some folks back here on the back that's coming a long way to come to Sunday school. They're from Alaska. Pastor Herbin's sister and her husband. So we welcome them to our Sunday school this morning. Like to talk to you a little bit about some of the things going on today. And Dr. Don Sist is going to be here for the AM and PM services both, and I know that's going to be a treat for all of you. If you've heard Dr. Sist before, you know that he's a very interesting, wonderful speaker, so we welcome him. And then as we look a little forward, we're going to have a VBS department meeting at 5:30 p.m. In different locations. So also we'll have a special meeting for choir members after the p.m. service in the auditorium. Now, if you signed up for VBS, you'll want to find out where you got to go. There's going to be, it says, various locations for the meetings. So it may be the department you're going to work in. If you got any questions, you can probably ask Brother Daniel, Brother Kyle, one of those. They'll direct you to those classes. On Wednesday, May the 10th, we'll have the Joshua Ministry House tours before and after the service. So if you've not had an opportunity to go next door and see the Joshua House, that would be a very good thing to see what God has allowed us to have for people that's coming to the church, missionaries and speakers, and just a wonderful place for them to stay. Also on Thursday, we're going to have the ladies' Bible study, and you've been coming to those. You wouldn't want to miss that. We have 10 a.m. in the home builders class, and then we have another one at 6:30 p.m. in the ministry house. So let's see. On Saturday, May 20th, we're going to be looking at the Herbin Olson wedding shower from 10 to 12 in the Family Life Center. And then at 1 to 3, we're going to have the quilting circle. So we've got a busy, busy week coming up. Also, there's a VBS bus workers meeting at 8 p.m. on May 17th. So look in your bulletin there and get caught up on all of these meetings that are going on. So I know we have another visitor back here new with us, so we're glad to have you this morning. And you know, the rest of us, I believe, are home folks, and we thank you for being in church today. Is anyone got a spoken prayer request that they would like to say? Okay, Brother Harry. Okay, the Joe Mosier family. And so let's remember them in prayer. Y'all, a lot of you know the Joe Mosier and his family. They were members here for a long time. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, we thank you for being in Sunday school this morning. And Brother Steve is going to be bringing us a lesson here in just a moment or two. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that you shed on Calvary, Lord, for the remission of our sins, Lord. God, we just praise you for all your blessings to us. God, would you bless this day at our church, bless Dr. Sist as he does bring the messages today. And Lord, we pray that you'll give him special power from on high, God, that he'll be able to bring your word to us, and God, that it will fill our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we also pray for our brother Steve Mullins here, who's been faithful to teach our Sunday school. And Lord, we pray that you'll just be with him as he goes through this lessons for us, dear Lord, on prophecy and on what's coming about. Lord, we pray you'll help us today, forgive us our sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Brother May. Thank you. Okay, I passed out a sheet there, two sheets, actually. And the look at the chart, this one, if you can see it a little bit better, I found this one that may be able to see. I know some of the words are small, but if you look in the big circle in the middle where it's said the priesthood of the king there at the top, then it says kingdom of heaven. That is the church age that this chart is talking about. So you see and if you look down where it says nations there, kind of in the middle under that big area, it's hard to read, but it says the Jews return. They're kind of on the right side of that circle. We have that going on today in the world as we speak. This is another indication of the rapture of the church. The Jews are returning to the nation of Israel as we speak. Many, many thousands are moving back into that country. So then if we go up to the circle, you see written there on the side of one of the lines going up, the rapture. We've talked about that in the last months. And we meet Christ in the air, the church. The dead in Christ risen first, then we are alive, remain, go with that. Then we've been talking about the judgment seat of Christ in the past month or two. There, now this is in heaven with Christ. So what I wanted to do was trace what Christ was doing and where he's at during the tribulation period. We've all heard sermons on the tribulation period and all the things that go on there, the terrible things, the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, and all that. That's been talked about quite a bit. I wanted to follow Christ. I wanted to follow the footsteps of Christ. So we see up in heaven at that time, after we're raptured out, that rapture could happen any day based on all the evidence that we have in God's Word and the way things are coming together in our world. So we can all hear and see and read the news and see on our phones today what's going on, the craziness. So it's all pointing toward this rapture. And the Jews going home, yeah, that's pointing toward the rapture. It's getting ready to happen. It could happen today. So then we look at the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about that. That judgment seat is for believers. Those of us that believe, that are saved by the blood of Christ, we'll walk in front of Christ, and he'll talk to us about what we did as Christians. What we did that remains, that's not wood, hay, and stubble that gets burned up. The works that we do, not the works to get to heaven, but the works that we perform because of we love Christ, because we've been saved, because what he did for us, and we love him, and we want to do what we can do for the cause of Christ. He's going to judge us there. Then after that, we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you can see that on that chart up there. Now, where we're at right now is we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're coming down in what they call the revelation of Christ. There we see that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. What's going to happen after the marriage supper of the Lamb is where we're at. So we're kind of really at the bottom of that line. When Christ comes back at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign. So we're going to be with Christ, and we're going to get to see all that. All of us are. We're going to be part of this. So he sets his feet down on Mount Olives. Now, let's just stop right there on that chart, because we're going to talk about what's happening right in there today. The judgment of the nations is getting ready to happen. So if you look on the other page, this one has most of the writing on it. Right there at the top, it says, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 25 and Revelations 20, verses 4 through 6, that sets up this chart to tell us the procedure, how things are happening. So we can see the first fruits of the saints happened when Christ was resurrected. The Bible talks about that in Matthew 27 there. And you can't really read those verses, but you can see where it says Matthew 27, 52, 53, talks about the first fruits. That's the first, kind of the first resurrection of the dead in Christ. Then there's the interval, the present dispensation, which the time is unknown. God doesn't tell us how long it'll be. He gives us indications of what we're going to see before it happens. He wants us to understand that when these things are happening, you better be ready. And one of the things I want us to understand most of all, most of us are sitting here saved today. Because of this timeline and because of what's going on in the world, I feel like it's really urgent that if we have any loved ones that are not saved, we need to get them under the Word. They need to be saved before it's eternally too late. Because once this rapture starts, if we have loved ones that are not saved, they're going to go into that tribulation period. And we're going to see how God judges that, how Christ judges that here at the end of the tribulation period. So this great, this interval, this dispensation of the church is unknown, but it could happen any time. And then we look at the rapture. At the rapture there, it says the church and the Old Testament saints, the church is talking about us. The church age. Remember, the church means saved ones. Not this building. It's us. At the rapture. Then we come right on down in that middle column and we see the interval of the great tribulation. That 7 years period that it's going to be terrible things fall on earth because of the Antichrist and Satan causing. He's going to start with peace and deceive the nations. And then 3.5 years into that, he's going to break loose on the nation of Israel and try to destroy them, completely destroy God's chosen people. So really the tribulation period is about God dealing in that dispensation, which is a dispensation, an easy way to say that, is a time period that God deals with mankind. We see this dispensation of the church age is God dealing with the church, preaching of the gospel, people getting saved, people people being believers in what Christ did on the cross. So it's from the cross to the rapture is the church age. Unknown time, but we see indicators that we're very, very close to the rapture. So this 7-year tribulation period is fairly well defined in what God's going to do. Remember, I started probably months ago talking about Christ standing up at the right hand of God, the seat of honor, when you're always on the right hand of God or right hand of Christ, that's the seat of honor. He stands up and picks up the books. It's talking about the books. Well, books are scrolls in the Bible. And the books is a scroll. When you start opening the scroll and it's sealed, you break a seal and read that and roll it. Then break another seal and read that. It's all rolled up into a big scroll. He was the one that stood up and said, who is faithful, who is right, can take this scroll and reclaim the earth. So God hands him, the angels hands him this scroll. And he starts opening the seals. And that's where we hear in Revelation, it talks about the seals being opened and angels bringing down God's wrath upon the earth and all those things that happened to the earth and to unsaved people and to the Antichrist and all that goes on during that. So he's opening those seals. Well, here we are at the end of this 7-year tribulation period when the revelation of Christ is happening and the tribulation saints are resurrected. And that's kind of where we're at today on that chart. So we're getting to the bottom of this. This is a good path that I've been following. This chart come out of Larkin's Book of the Revelations. Now you can buy this book online or the church will help you get it. Larkin, Rightly Dividing the Word, a lot of people has that, but he wrote a lot more books. And this one is the Book of Revelation that Clarence Larkin uses. A lot of good charts like this, a lot of explanations. A lot of the stuff that I've been teaching over the last months comes from here and other commentaries. And just remember, a lot of these things that are not perfectly clear, we believe the Bible is inspired, every word. So I don't just, some people want to interpret that in different ways. You know, I'm not going to argue with anybody. I believe the King James Version and what it says is what it is, and what God says is what it is. Now, some of these things are up for discussion, but I believe if you dig deep enough and go back into the Old Testament and Ezekiel and Daniel and all those guys that were in the Old Testament prophets, a lot of that comes forward, all the way forward into Hebrews and on into Revelations, and you can get to the bottom of any issue. There is no confusion in God's Word. It all works together. We know that the devil is the author of confusion, and is the world not confused today? And some churches are confused. Some churches have turned into entertainment instead of teaching of God's Word. So praise the Lord, we have what we have here today in our church. Now let's get started. Let me see if I can get us down to the beginning of the thousand-year reign today. And in Revelations 19:19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. Now here we are on earth coming back. God's coming to earth. And we talked about the sword, him speaking. He just has to speak. And the Bible calls it a sword. It's going to come out of his mouth and then take care of business with these armies. So this great battle of Armageddon, or battle in this part of Israel, is a 200-mile square. We talked about that last week. And we see that Christ is going to defeat these armies of the Antichrist and of the devil. And these armies were sent in to wipe out the nation of Israel. So we see that the nation of Israel, and where this happens at physically on the ground, is a 200-mile, basically, square area, kind of northeast of Jerusalem. And these armies are coming out of the north from this supposed 10 federation nations, which is back in the Old Testament. We can look at that and say that was this and that, and all evolved out of the Persian Empire, Rome, and all that was involved. And we can speculate on what countries it will be. We don't know that. We have an idea from the way things are forming up today. 50 years ago, I heard speculation that kind of matches some of the stuff today, but doesn't. But we've, with all the wars and rumors of wars that were going on right today, as the Bible talks about, we can see these nations forming up that eventually will come down on the nation of Israel and try to take over that part of the world. Now, where does the United States fit in? People always ask that. Where do we fit? You know, years ago, we can all remember saying, well, I just don't see the United States being involved with that because we love Israel. That we're not going to turn against Israel. Well, is that true today with the current political situation globally? Our country, would it stand up and do anything to help Israel at this point? Where's that going to go? We can't tell. We can speculate. We don't know. But all I know is at this particular time, according to what the Word says, that these armies of Satan are going to be there to destroy the nation of Israel. And we're going to be coming in the air on these horses dressed in white raiment with Christ. And we're going to see this. And verse 20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him false prophet. Both these guys, Satan puts them in power during the 7-year tribulation period. One of them comes at the beginning that talks peace, and people are blinded to the fact to who he is. He wants to make himself look like Christ. We can go back all the way back into the Old Testament and read about Satan being cast out of heaven. I want to be like God. I want to be I. Satan is very self-centered, and he has not changed. He's still there. So this prophet will come in at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, and he will make himself look like the best person that the world has ever seen because of all the wars and rumors of wars. And do we have that now? Yes, we do. And every day there's another one pops up somewhere. He's going to come in and he's saying there's going to be world peace. It doesn't say how he does it, but he's got this army that he's going to start forming. And the false prophet starts saying, this man is God, and we're going to worship him. And we can see how that's going to fall together. So the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast. Now, I've been hearing rumors and talk on talk radios. These talk shows are more entertaining than they're not. They use facts, but they entertain with them. You gotta spit out the bones and keep the meat, if you can find it. But the economic system of this world is being controlled by one central bank. And it is The U.S. dollar is the thing that just about everywhere you go, when you travel, if you're a world traveler, I've been to many, many countries on mission trips and during the service, everything's based on the dollar. You go through the airport, there's a kiosk there, put your U.S. dollars in and get the current currency that's in that part of the world. Or you go to a bank and they love U.S. dollars. They love cash. And you put give them your cash or give them your debit or credit card and you get the currency of that country. So the dollar is there right now. And we know the shape that the dollar's in. So where's that going to go? And everybody says, well, I'll not take the mark of the beast. Well, will you? When you're starving, when you can't go to Walmart and buy anything, when you can't go to the local grocery store and buy anything, what are you going to do? I know for me, I've got turkeys and deer running all over the place on my property. And there's a bunch of good old boys down the country here. We're going to eat. I'm not going to take the mark. I won't take the chip. Sad to say, I've got a credit card in my pocket right now. And most of you do. And all we have to do is we take that card. And inside that thing, there's a piece of stuff that is so thin and has all your data on it. And you just lay it on the machine and the money comes out of your account. So you can't tell me we won't take the mark, because they could take that little wafer right there, put it in your forehead, put it in your hand, and one of those scanners that scans like your groceries when you go out of the store, your self-checkout, and you've got the mark of the beast. Because the currency for the universe, for the world at that time, is going to change. It won't be dollar-based. This false prophet is going to make accusations and hold this man up, this beast, and make him, and them that worship the image, and then it says, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, Christ is not going to mess around here. He's going to take these Satan-empowered people, and before he casts them in the lake of the fire, Satan is going to remove himself from them. They don't have to wait another 1,000 years, because we know about the judgment, the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign. All the wicked dead are resurrected and they are thrown into the lake of fire, and the devil and the false prophets and all of them get the second death. But these two guys, they get to go to the lake of fire right then. And we're going to get to see that. Right then, Christ sets his feet down on Mount Olives. And he starts separating some people here. He starts separating and doing business to set up this 1,000-year reign. And then verse 21, it says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, the word, which swords proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We talked about that last week, how all the birds of prey are going to come and eat the flesh off of all these dead army, this wicked army. Now we jump over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, a lot of people say, well, how can an iron chain bind somebody up that has the power that Satan has? Well, does it I mean, you see these people make these accusations. When you say a great chain, everybody thinks, well, that's just normal chain. Well, this is not a normal chain. This is God's chain. Whether it's made out of iron, who knows? It may be made out of gold. But it has the power of God on it. It is able to bind up Satan's followers and him himself. Go back into prior to the flood. Prior to the great flood. And we know the angels came down. And they seen the earthly women. And they intermarried with them. Well, God took care of that business too. Before the great flood wiped out the earth and all the population, he took those angels and cast them into hell, and they're tied down with these chains. And they've been there ever since then. So what is that, 8,000 years ago they've been in hell, wrapped up in these chains? Which is just a drop in eternity. So we see God's done this before with these chains. But now we're getting ready to see that he, and it says in verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit. Now, we go back here and we see that this angel came down having a key. Well, we've seen this angel before in situations where God needed a key to open up the scrolls and this and that. And this one angel that's in charge of this key. We know that when Christ died on the cross, and we've seen some saints that were come out of the graves then because of his great resurrection and 3 days after. But he did business down in hell then, in paradise, and he got the keys. He picked the keys up, and nobody ever took those keys from him. So I have to say that some of these keys is what this one angel with the power of God on him, handcuffed Satan with this chain and put him in the bottomless pit. One angel. So what's that to say in some of these verses that we hear in the Bible and the great stories in the Old Testament about 10,000 angels on the ridge standing, seeing them. Old Testament saints got to view some of that. How powerful is God to stop the mess that we have in this world today? It's nothing for him. He comes down and just speaks it like a sword coming out of his mouth. Be gone. Armies, be dead. We're there. We're just riding there with the 10,000s of angels or whoever and all ever, and it's going to be there seeing all this. We're going to get to see this. Think about that. What a blessing. And why do we get to see it? Why? Because what Christ did on the cross, because of that shed blood, we are blessed with salvation. We are blessed to be part of God's chosen people, the church, the bride of Christ. And he's bringing us back to earth and give us this earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to make sure it's cleaned up before he starts it. So we see all this happening here. And so they laid hold of this old devil and the serpent and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set the seal upon it, that he should not deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that loosed for a little season. I've always thought, Why would you want to let him go? He's in the bottomless pit. He's in hell. He has to get him out of there to let him stand before the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year reign. Well, boys, it don't take... I got to thinking, I said, well, here he is, they're going to let him out, and he's going to get another army together. Oh, you have physical people that go through the thousand-year reign, and they're having children and children for 1,000 years, but it does say our health, we may live 1,000 years. Not us that are already saints of God that came down, but the people that's born during that time has longevity of life. It's like the Garden of Eden has been reset. But at the end of the thousand-year reign, you see these people stand up and want to be on Satan's side. How easy is it to stand? We do it and we don't even think about it. We'll say something or do something, and I'll say, oh my goodness, I've done it again. Lord, please forgive me. How easy. We sin and don't even have to think about it because of the sin nature, the blood that we inherited it. How easy is it? We have to be on guard all the time to try to stay out of a sinful situation in our life. That's why we have prayer. That's why God's open to us to come and say, God, forgive me. And he does. Because of what Christ did on the cross, he shed his righteousness on us. Boy, that righteousness is going to get us a long way. A long way. It's so far, it's eternal, forever and ever. Folks, the salvation that we got when we said we trust him, it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But sin can happen in a heartbeat. So here he is, loosed at the end of this thousand-year reign just for a little bit. And he gets an army to fight against God again, thinking that he can still, at the last day, at the last time, still thinks he can defeat God. Still wants to be, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be best. Selfish, self-centered. Nothing's changed. Satan, Satan. Sin, sin. And we all deal with those things. So how easy is it then that some of those people that come through that 1,000 years, Satan's influence, just for a moment, comes on them and they say, they're deceived. And you wonder, at the beginning of the tribulation period, how does people get deceived? It's because of the power of Satan. He's the prince and the power of this air, this air that we breathe. So here we see him cast into the bottomless pit in chains for 1,000 years. So Satan is there in person. It's not you get these people and say, well, this influence, this principle of evil, good and evil, yin yang and all this stuff, the force and not have the force, and Hollywood wants to paint it and all this kind of things. No, it's not some kind of influence. It's just floating around. It's the devil. Just say it what it is. It needs to be preached. It needs to be taught. You need to take it home and tell your family. If you don't back away from where you're at, you're going to be into the lake of fire one day, forever. If you get anything out of this Revelations stuff, I can call it stuff, it's not stuff. It's God's word. It's warning us. Tell our families to get saved before it's eternally too late. Got to do it. So we see that this one angel gets rid of this Satan. And we see that in this revelation, we see that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given upon them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Those people are going to be resurrected at this time. They died during the tribulation period. These are tribulation saints that died because they wouldn't take the mark, wherever it may be, hand or forehead. They wouldn't stop reading the word. And you think, how can that happen in this world? Folks, there's governmental agencies that are in place right now that could do anything they wanted to do to us with Satan's influence on them. We think we live in the greatest country in the world. If you've ever traveled, this is absolutely the greatest country in the world. That's why everybody wants to come here. Not only is it that, but East Tennessee, this part of the world, is the best place. Traveled so many places. Yeah, there's beautiful places, but I'm telling you, we are blessed where we're at. We're blessed. God's blessed us. We're saved and have a beautiful place to live. But when Satan comes in and we're gone, I don't care how beautiful the place you live in. His armies are going to march through and you're going to take the mark or you're done. And that's what it says right here. If you don't and you're still reading the word, you're going to be martyred. And it says there, "and which had not worshipped the beast." We didn't worship it. Neither the image. "Neither received the mark upon their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So those folks got saved. So we know that the Jews talks about during the tribulation period, there is one from each nation. We talk about 144,000 are preaching the word in the world, and people are getting saved. But then in verse 5 it says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. That 1,000 years means that the dead that were not in Christ, the dead sinners, are not resurrected to the end of the 1,000-year reign because of the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign. So we see the people that died during that time, they are not resurrected. Not until the end of the 1,000-year reign. We'll talk about that. I'm hoping I can get through this next week and get that far. So I'm going to have to quit right there. They're all standing out there wanting in. I'm going to try to push this thing on through the 1,000-year reign next week and get to the great white throne judgment and get this finished before the summer starts so I can start on some easier stuff to teach. This gets really difficult sometimes to keep all this in order. And I know that you're struggling with it. If you've got some questions, ask me. I'll try to help you. The pastor can. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word and how it clearly tells us what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Lord, praise your name for your salvation. Praise your name for what you did on that cross, that we're saved and going to get to see all this is a blessing, Lord. It's such a blessing. And thank you for it. You've provided in a wonderful way through salvation for us. Thank you for that. Lord, now I pray for today, our special speaker will bring the word, touch hearts, and change lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.